We've had two period pieces in the MCU, and both
one
of those,
made a billion.
Yeah. How did that do?
It made a billion.
Okay, but was it a good movie?
No.
Okay. And then.
I have nothing to prove to you.
Aww. With a new recent poster that came out for the Fantastic Four reboot, some fans have speculated that the cityscape behind Johnny Storm looks like it could almost be from an alternate reality. And I will say this. I think that if you're going to introduce the Fantastic Four into the MCU and give us this group that we clearly would have known about from the 1960s, because we already know the film is a period piece. It will be in the 1960s. So why didn't the Avengers know about the Fantastic Four? Why didn't Nick Fury know about Fantastic Four? Why did no one ever mention the Fantastic Four? I think this is the perfect way to bring in the Fantastic Four into the MCU. They are from an alternate universe. Okay, so why do you do that? What other way can you bring the Fantastic Four in?
Everyone knows my... Look,
you
man,
don't like
I don't
the
have,
multiverse.
I don't have time to hype on the multiverse thing, but the fact of the matter is... I feel like what they're going to do here is going to just add to the levels of confusion that they've already created that are out there with the other universes that are going to be merging together and with the other films that we've already done that deal with the multiverse. This horse has been dead for a while and we're just still hitting it with a stick. I get it that people are going to say nobody would have actually believed that these characters would not have been talked about. Nobody would have possibly believed that the X-Men wouldn't have been talked about. Nobody would have been. This is exactly why, in my opinion, the MCU needed to consider a hard reboot.
Keep in mind.
Yeah,
this,
I feel like...
Personal opinion.
Okay, first of all, keep this in mind. This has not been confirmed. This is just speculation from the fans.
Yeah, of course.
And there are other ways to do it, right? You could have the Fantastic Four existing in the MCU that we all know and love in the 60s. And as soon as they are about to become popular and famous and whatever else, mm-hmm. they get sucked into some type of wormhole. Mm-hmm. And then they get spit out in current day. You could do that route too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just keep in mind, this is speculation. But go ahead.
I didn't know it was a period piece. I don't stay up on the news. I'm so... sad and tired from being disappointed so frequently. I try not to be totally up to date on all the news. I find it disturbing that it's a period piece. I've been saying for a long time that they need a hard reboot because the whole excitement...
It's not going to happen.
But here's
doesn't the, matter. It should. That's the point. That's why we're here talking.
The excitement of having the Fantastic Four and the X-Men in the MCU isn't that the Fantastic Four is going to meet the X-Men. Because really, exactly. All you have left is the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Captain America's already gone. Iron Man's already gone. What do you got Thor for? One more picture? A half of one picture? I don't know.
I think he'll be around for a while, but that's just
he
my
got
opinion.
that little midget that he was training. He's got the little midget Thor that he's training.
Diverse female Thor. We already had one female Thor.
No, she got cancer.
That wasn't enough.
And we got the female Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And we've got the black Captain America.
Female Black Panther. We got it all, man.
Yeah, that's great. We got it all. You need the hard reboot because we've already had three Fantastic Four movies.
Mm-hmm.
A bad one, a sequel to that bad one,
and an
even worse one.
Those aren't connected to the MCU.
Okay, this one is, but what is the MCU?
In the multiverse, they are. That's the problem.
The point is, what makes it special to be part of the MCU? They're going to interact with the other Marvel characters. All the other Marvel characters are retired. They're gone.
Not all.
Most.
Three.
Okay, how many... Okay, they're really deep into their contracts. The ones that haven't officially said, I'm done, are so deep into their contracts that you got to think they're close to being done.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Jackson, but then...
Benedict Cumberbatch is about done.
How many more Doctor Strange
Thor is about done. We know that Jeremy Renner says he's done.
You guys are really glass-half-empty type of guys.
Yeah. Hemsworth said that he wants to spend more time with his family
if we weren't getting glass-half-empty projects, we wouldn't feel that way, Jonathan. That's the point. And that's exactly
and
where
so,
we're at.
So here's the thing. The excitement is to have him interact with these people in this place. You're already... Okay, it's a period piece, so they're not doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that they are going to bring him in. Obviously, they're going to bring him in.
Yeah, okay. But the public reception of a period piece... I love Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yes.
It was not...
And
a huge,
Wonder Woman.
It, as far as box office successes in early Marvel history go, people forget this because Civil War and Winter Soldier were such huge hits. Captain America, the first Avenger, was not a giant box office hit.
But it was a hit. It made a profit. But it was around the $400 million mark, right?
But period pieces give people pause. It's demonstrated by Captain America, the first Avenger, and how much bigger...
Okay, but I see your argument, but don't forget, at that time, 2010, we were very early MCU.
The other thing...
You release a period piece Captain America... 2 years later,
okay, we've had two. Here's the thing: we've had two period pieces in the MCU, and both
one
of those,
made a billion.
Yeah, how did that do?
It made a billion.
Okay, but was it a good movie?
No.
Okay, and then
I have nothing to prove to you.
And then we also had Eternals. When we were looking at Eternals here, and we saw all the setup and all the stuff, the one thing everybody said leaving that theater, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
And okay? It's up.
And so when you're doing a period piece, that's going to be the problem. If it's not in an alternate universe, mm-hmm. it's going to make almost no sense. And if it is in an alternate universe, you're going to be in a situation where you're just like, I don't want another universe.
First Avenger is pre-MCU cultural dominance, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Yeah. This movie is post-MCU cultural dominance.
But that doesn't
dominance.
Mean that it can't work.
Okay. Captain Marvel only got that money because it was released in between Infinity War and Endgame. That is it.
Well, okay, look. Now, I've always used that argument myself over the past years, but don't forget, what else was in betwixt those films? Ant-Man and the Wasp. How did it do at the box office? Did it clear 500 mil? I don't think it did.
I think it did better than Ant-Man.
Was it being set up by Kevin Feige to be one of the most powerful characters of all time? I don't think so.
Did Infinity War end with Nick Cage sending a text message or a page?
To Ant-Man?
Yeah.
No, right. I think that's a very good point.
At the end of the biggest movie ever at the time, he reached out to save us Captain Marvel, didn't he?
Oh, this Captain Marvel movie must be a big deal. We gotta go see this, boys.
See what kind of big deal that is.
They sucked us in. They pulled us back in for that one, Tim.
Yeah.
I know.
And now we've all been burned how many times?
Exactly.
And now they're gonna be like, you know what, the Fantastic Four is gonna be in the '60s. Again, I like period movies. I like World War II movies. I like World War I movies. You know, I like period. I'm a history nerd too. I like history.
Same here.
The First Avenger was a fantastic movie. The only reason it didn't do the same numbers as Iron Man did, for instance, is in my opinion. Is because people have pause with superheroes in a period movie. It's just, they do. The first Captain America movie, absolutely 100% dyed in the wool, had to be a period film because the character of Captain America makes absolutely no sense outside of his history fighting Nazis in World War II.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I mean, you just can't have Captain America without him being part of mm-hmm. the character is intrinsically, it's bedrock. So that had to be a period film.
I think that once this film comes out, we are all going to say, you know what? It really makes sense that that was a period piece.
The Fantastic Four is about...
Mark my words. This will happen.
It's the smartest man in the universe conducting some kind of experiment that screws up his friends. All right? It was set in the 60s. It was a rocket. It doesn't have to be in a rocket.
It can be anything.
This story does not have to happen in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It probably doesn't have to, no.
Right.
But I think that, you know, at this point, the optimist in me just says we should wait and watch the film and then make our judgments afterwards.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I'm just saying that the news is not encouraging. I didn't know there was a period piece that you told me. The fact that they're making it a period piece is just... It's just like we can't be so imaginative as to move this story to today's timeline. Mm. We can't even figure out what Reed would be doing to travel with him. He couldn't be exploring other dimensions or trying to do a teleportation device or time travel.
Does that mean that the X-Men have to start in the 60s too? I mean, this is the can of worms that this opens up.
Go f*** yourself.
They all start in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know.
Listen, guys, we know this is the multiverse saga. The first three phases were the Infinity Saga. This next three phases that we're currently in right now is the multiverse. If you don't like the multiverse, get over it. That's what I say. I like this concept. I can't wait to see Tobey Maguire and Hugh Jackman on the screen at the same time.
You say that all the time.
Because I love the thought of seeing that.
It's the stupidest thing. We don't need to.
Why is that stupid?
Because
it's every nerd's dream come true.
Look, man, you love the actor nostalgia of the characters that you saw growing up, and that's cool. But does this universe need that? That's what we need to ask more importantly.
Probably not, but I think that it's a
point.
Cool
that's
thing
the point.
To
if
see
it doesn't need
have.
It, if it doesn't need it, then we've just screwed up the story for your happy feelings in your head. That's what we've done.
I really don't think so. I disagree. You know, I think that if it's done correctly, which so far, to be fair, it has not been done correctly for the most part. I think that Multiverse of Madness this is an unpopular opinion, but I think that was a good film overall.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that you guys liked that.
I like the movie. No. My only complaint with the movie...
They didn't lean too heavily into the multiverse stuff.
Multiverse of Madness's main problem with me is I really liked WandaVision. If WandaVision had never been filmed or aired and I'd never seen it, I would have loved Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the two are supposed to... Now, see, here's the thing. The MCU... In the push to put out so much content, they lost control of their continuity.
Yes.
And in Multiverse of Madness,
why turn her into a good guy at the conclusion of WandaVision when she's just going to be a bad guy again?
Yeah, that's the key complaint I always see is like it doesn't make sense. The two don't fit together in the same universe, and they really don't. Yeah. They absolutely don't. The character that we saw at the end of WandaVision is not the character that we see at the beginning of Multiverse of Madness.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a more recent example is Secret Invasion. All the events that took place, the Skrulls didn't have anywhere they could call home. Yet in the Marvels, you see that they have a whole entire planet that they're based out of.
I feel like these shows, I've liked some of them. I love WandaVision. But you know what? My son loves Marvel movies. I'm 10 years or more, right around that, older than you. My son's, a little over 20 years younger than me. We all love the MCU, mm-hmm. and we approach it from different directions, right? Yeah. I loved WandaVision. He loves the MCU. He hated WandaVision. Mm-hmm. He didn't grow up watching the Dick Van Dyke Show on Nick at Night. Mm-hmm. Friends was on Nick at Night when he was growing up. So he doesn't know what the Patty Duke Show or Donna Reed is.
The Green Acres.
Yeah, that first episode in black and white where they're aping on I Dream of Jeannie, the Dick Van Dyke Show. The second episode, they're aping on the Brady Bunch. He's clueless.
Yeah.
Him and all of his friends who all grew up on Iron Man and love the MCU have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And they lost interest before it got to episode 4 or 5 when eventually, even though I've loved some of them and hated other ones, I feel like they're going to have to treat all these shows like they treated the Netflix shows. They were part of it, but not really.
This is not
in the continuity anymore.
The problem I always have with the people forget the reason.
Multiverse of Madness is so much better.
People,
if you don't have that impression of Wanda
people,
from
people
WandaVision.
Forget.
Don't
the
forget
reason.
The Netflix shows are canon now.
People forget uncanon.
I don't like that decision, but go ahead, Tim.
Look, people forget the reason that the original Marvel Universe had to do the multiverse concept to begin with. It's because what ended up happening was you had 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 main characters. And then basically because you had all these main characters, you had several different storylines, and then you had storylines that weren't quite adding up. You had characters that weren't in the same place at the same time. They had different relationships. They had different powers. They looked different. Why is that? Well, then they decided to introduce, we've got this multiverse concept. That's the whole idea. There's different universes. They all can exist at the same time. That's how we ended up with the multiverse.
They stole it straight from DC, which had the problem 20 years earlier.
Exactly. And they could have. And that's
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
They could have approached it completely differently.
How was our 80s and 90s
and so,
dark and gritty Batman in the comics the same Batman that was tied to a giant penny?
Yeah, exactly.
In the 60s and the 50s. He's not.
Yeah.
That's Earth 2 Batman.
Exactly.
And this is Earth 1 Batman, and then the infinite Earths are going to crash, and then we're going to have one. And that's how Marvel did it, too, because eventually... If you're going to do the same character for 70, 80 years.
They introduced it that way because of that. And what really frustrates me about the MCU is the MCU could have seen that. They could have planned for that and said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get to this point and then, boom, reboot. If your character got introduced late, tough freaking cookies, okay? Your character got introduced late, okay. We're ending the continuity then. We're going to restart it again. We're going to have someone completely different play your character. I'm sorry, but that's how it goes. That's what they should have done. instead of doing that, they're still beholden to these characters that they think people want to see, people like Shang-Chi, and people nobody wants to see Shang-Chi again. I don't care who you are. Don't lie. Anybody here out there, don't lie.
Hey, listen, let me finish.
Don't lie and say that you absolutely positively are going to be upset if they end the continuity right now and Shang-Chi is never in a movie again. You won't be upset.
Okay? I don't mind Shang-Chi.
But would you really be upset if they said, we're done with Shang-Chi? Exactly. No. And that's exactly what they need to get over. They need to get over this idea that these characters that they introduced in late phases need to be carried over. And because they need to be carried over, we need to continue the universe completely
and tie everything together. We've made it to the point that we don't have anyone left that you're going to be like, oh, I didn't get a good sampling of them.
Cumberbatch and Hemsworth, those are the only two.
That's Holland. It. Holland.
We don't even know if Sony's going to keep with their contract.
Oscar Isaac, Moon Knight.
But
you know, I would like to see more of Moon Knight.
But you're not going to be brokenhearted if you don't.
No, I mean,
I got three Holland Spider-Man pictures, and they were all really good. Mm-hmm. And I would watch three more.
And cameos in other movies. But you know what?
I would watch three more. But if I don't get any more, I'm like, and they have to do a new Spider-Man.
Did they do Spider-Man Justice in the MCU?
Yes. Exactly. We got a good sampling size of it. I feel like there's nobody that we haven't gotten at least three plus appearances of. It's reboot time.
It's to the point where Gwyneth Paltrow can't even remember what movies she was in. She was doing podcasts, she was like, oh, I was in that movie? And that's just kind of why we need to completely scrap this.
From a financial standpoint and from a creative standpoint, I do not think it's time to reboot yet. These films... not even financial. Here's why. The Marvels, the most least successful MCU film that we've had in over a decade, made, what was it, $450 million? That is more than Black Adam. That is more than Blue Beetle. That is more than The Flash. That is more than
the
most...
But that's because DC is terrible,
dude. That is their most apparent and biggest competitor.
The rocket scientists get better grades than the guys in the remedial classes. That doesn't mean anything.
These Marvel films averaged $1 billion at the box office until the past 2 years ago. $1 billion per film when we were at 25 films?
The end of it was until the last 2 years ago.
From a business and financial standpoint.
It's a law of diminishing returns.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem.
Diminishing returns.
Here's the thing. Star Wars made the same mistake, and that's my problem with it. Star Wars made the same mistake. Well, we're making money. What the heck are you going to do? You know, Spider-Man movies made the same mistake with Sony. Oh, we're making money. What are you going to do? They're making bad movies. They're making bad continuities. And then at one point, all their movies are
not bad. Guardians 3 was epic. It was amazing.
But how many bad projects did we get that led to that, John?
So Guardians 3 was wrapping up. See, there was like four or five characters, maybe six or more, right there. That we got the third installment. We got a good wrap up, third or fourth. You know, depending on the cameos and other movies. And we're like, you know what? I mean, I know it ended with saying we'll see Star-Lord again. But if you didn't see Star-Lord again, you'd be like, you know, that was a really good ending. That worked.
Yeah, it was a good send-off. Also, I think from a creative standpoint, like I said, because we really... Yes, the Marvels, some people hated it. I thought it was okay. Some people loved it. But I don't think it was a complete failure. Now, financially, like I said, it was their lowest grossing film in over a decade. I mean, really, since the Captain America days. We were talking about Captain America, the First Avenger.
I didn't even see it in theaters. It's the only one I didn't see in theaters.
Yeah, well, I get that. And look, I wasn't super hyped about the film. And I think that it was, you know, definitely very messy and confusing, probably for most casual fans that didn't know who the heck Kamala Khan was or who Photon was even.
They landed on a freaking singing planet, Jonathan.
I'll tell you, to this day, now I was at opening day through Endgame. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Not opening weekend. Opening day. I was there on Thursday night. You know what I'm talking about? The movie opens Friday, but the first showing is on Thursday night and it's late.
Yeah.
I'm dragging my kids that are 12, 10. We're at a midnight showing to see this stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. I have still never seen The Eternals. I don't plan on seeing it. I've never seen The Marvels. I don't plan on seeing it. They've gotten so deep. They're dragging the barrel so far down. You feel like you can skip stuff.
There's a really cool Beast cameo in the post-credit of The Marvels.
See, you know what? I read an article about it, and now I know.
What Beast look like.
I saw Kelsey Grammer play the Beast. I watched that movie. I liked it. And I have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know what? Also, I just watched Kelsey Grammer reprise Frasier, that was way better and more satisfying.
If you're going to consider a reboot, you should consider it after our next two Avenger films, which at this point I think we're going to get in 2026.
That's what Secret Wars is leading towards. It's turning out like comics. That's what it's leading towards. It's leading towards a reboot. Yeah.
Not only do you have things that don't add up, and things don't make, you got dangling plot threads.
Exactly.
When is this going to happen? There were like Chris Claremont's run on X-Men was famous for all the dangling...
Yes.
Lines that weren't getting tied up,
resolved. Mm-hmm. Just like in the Eternals, there was a whole Celestial that was frozen in the ocean.
We've talked about it zero times.
Listen, it's just
ridiculous.
Where is White Vision?
Yeah, White Vision's gone.
Where did he go?
Yeah.
Huge fight. Yeah. Epic battle. Something's going on. He's fighting her imaginary vision, and she's fighting Agatha, and the whole thing's coming down. And he's like, oh, wait.
I gotta go.
I had a dentist appointment.
I gotta go to the White Vision bathroom. Hold on a second. I'll be right back.
How many years has it been? We have no idea.
What, 17, 18?
It's been three, four years.
Is there even a project on tap with a release date that we feel like they're going to tell us where White Vision went?
No. Who knows? We don't know. And also, to be fair, I think that the Netflix stuff, like making that officially canon, made things even worse.
Yeah.
I don't think that you should make that stuff canon.
That Defenders crossover and thing.
I mean, like
the one good thing about the multiverse to me is that you can conveniently put everything, like you mentioned earlier, Earth 1, Earth 765. You know, you can conveniently put that Netflix stuff in a different multiverse. Why not do that? Why do you just have to make that happen in the MCU?
What's so funny about the Netflix stuff?
You can make one where Steve died at the end of Endgame, and then it makes sense that Falcon and Bucky spent a whole series arguing about what Steve would think.
Exactly.
When Steve was only a phone call away. I mean, you didn't even need Chris Evans. They could just pick up the phone. Oh, yeah, Steve. Oh, well, that's what you think, Steve? Okay, Steve. And they'd be like, hey, Steve said you shouldn't have gave the shield to the Smithsonian.
They probably called him and asked him about it, and he probably said, no, I don't think I will.
Bucky walks around on the screen with his cell phone. You don't even need the voice. You just need his side of the conversation. And he hangs up and he looks and he goes, you know, Steve said he wanted you to use the shield, not give it to a museum.
Yeah.
They don't need to argue about it. He's not dead.
The Netflix.
The continuity makes no sense anymore.
He's probably on the moon.
Let's go back to the Netflix stuff for a second, because I just think that what's really funny about the Netflix stuff being canon is exactly how vague the references to the MCU were in the Netflix shows.
Yeah.
At one point, Jessica Jones, they weren't allowed to actually use the character name. She said the guy waving the flag and the big green guy. It's so vague that for them to accept that as canon just so that they could get the actors just seems so cheap to me. And at that point, when I think we've just hit the ridiculous end for the multiverse.
Listen,
we're in the goofy realm.
But at the same time, you are excited for Jon Bernthal and the
I got to tell you, man, I love that's one show I loved was The Punisher.
I wasn't big on The Punisher.
I loved it.
I loved it.
I liked him as the Punisher, but I wasn't big on the show.
Punisher and Daredevil were great.
Yeah,
Daredevil was a probably
Jessica Jones was my favorite.
Jessica Jones was great. Jessica season 1.
Yeah, for season one was my favorite. The Iron Fist obviously was everyone's
favorite. First season of Luke Cage was really good.
The first half season of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
But what really...
Yeah, and then after that it went downhill.
Yeah, after Cottonmouth died, mm-hmm. that was just, you know, the Diamondback stuff was stupid. But the thing that just killed me about the Netflix shows was I was always waiting for them to build to the MCU to the point where maybe they'll show up in Infinity War. Maybe they'll show up in Endgame. You know what I mean? But it never got to that point, and it became clear that they were going to be a completely different continuity, you know, probably around the Defenders thing.
It's like, I think now they're going to reach back and call Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly. You know, I hated Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter.
I liked the first couple seasons. And then, like, I stopped watching it. You started reading
Well, they made
things.
Really hard references to the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Jackson was in it.
I was a teenage pop star in Canada.
Kobe Smulders.
That's her from How I Met Your Mother.
It was great for a while, and then it got so convoluted you just stopped watching. And then you start reading stuff, and then like they got the Ghost Rider.
But he's in a car. Yeah, I know.
Now, isn't that the Ghost Driver?
That's Robbie Reyes.
I mean, listen though, if the Ghost Rider is in a car.
Yeah.
He's the ghost driver. He's not a rider. He's not riding anything. You don't ride a car.
Let's go ride.
Yeah, no, no, you drive a car. If you ride a car,
what if you're in a low rider.
No, no. If you're riding a car, that means you're a passenger.
Yeah,
you're a passenger. You ride a motorcycle, you drive a car.
Yeah.
Now, if you're riding a car, you're in the back seat. Did this verse? I didn't. Why I'd stop watching by this time?
When it came out, Dan and I were working together, and I saw it on my phone. And I went over. I went up to Dan and I showed it to him, and he goes, "That's a freaking car."
And you can't even defend the choice. Like, why would you put the Ghost Rider in a car? He looks so cool with the motorcycle with the flaming wheels. And you're like, no, we don't need that. Yeah. The motorcycle with the flaming wheels? We can have a car. That's four flaming wheels.
After we saw No Way Home, Molly went down the rabbit hole trying to figure out when exactly they polished the Statue of Liberty to shiny copper and gave her Cap's shield.
Yeah.
I was like, I missed that movie. Did I miss that movie? Yeah. Was that in one of the shows?
Yeah.
I spent hours trying to figure it out because they didn't really say it. They didn't spell it out. In that movie, you just show up and it's done. It's like, okay, I missed the movie where they announced that they were polishing the Statue of Liberty back to shiny copper and removing, then giving her Cap's shield. And I was like, it's too much.
Yeah.
There's so much they can't cover all of it.
It's getting to the point where they're making so many references. Well, this makes sense. This would have happened. This is something. But they never really explain how we get to that point. There's just so many holes in those kind of things that I just personally, this is why I don't care for it. This is why I've been pro-reboot for years. I think the Infinity Saga was enough. And it was the best comic book cinema saga that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think that after Endgame, everything has been hit or miss. There have been some things I've liked, nothing that I can honestly say I've been over the moon about.
It definitely isn't the same.
And it's not the same. Sure. That's just pretty much it.
Yeah, well, it was a crazy, unique, rare thing that was happening from 2008 till 2018. 10 years of box office dominance?
Yeah.
10 years of banger after banger after banger. These movies were all top-notch eights. Nines, tens, like these were all fantastic movies. Mm-hmm. So, of course, us as a fandom of that MCU are going to be disappointed.
Well, especially people that grew up in the 80s and 90s when comic book movies were just not good.
Very rare. I mean,
They were good.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You had David Banner instead of Bruce Banner back in the day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bruce sounded gay, the network said this. honestly, that's going to change with David.
Yeah. But what was the Captain America movie? Was that
91?
Yeah. 92?
Or 92, maybe 90, but somewhere in that ballpark.
I mean, that's what comic book movies used to be.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why now that we get one that's like a 6 or a 7, we're like, it's not the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember going to the theater to see X-Men, the huge act, the very first one, and just leaving the theater just so happy
that it
didn't suck.
I know. It was great.
I thought to myself, they did it.
It didn't
have to be great. Mm-hmm. It was great, but I was just happy that it didn't suck.
Yeah, it was better than Blade. That was my standard at the time. It's got to be better than Blade. If it's better than Blade, I'll be happy. And I walked out. It was just like, they did it. They actually made a good comic book movie. Does it hold up as well now? No, but at the time,
for the effects,
that was so much better than what we had had.
Leaps and bounds.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Comic Book Cinema. Make sure you check us out on our other socials. Don't forget, guys, you can check us out in podcast form, Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, just to name a few. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, and until next time, have a good one.